This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Business Strategy Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Dr. Christopher King, who helps run a very important program at Georgetown. Christopher, can you take a moment, Dr. King, and introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Christopher King, and I am an associate professor and the director of the Health Systems Administration graduate program at Georgetown University.
Thank you. And Christopher, let me ask you a question, and I'll ask it in two pieces, or respond as you'd like. You do a lot of teaching of leaders, teaching of people becoming leaders. What's your best advice for leaders, and then any additional thoughts for leaders of color or diverse leaders?
Sure. I think my best advice for leaders is to recognize the power of systems thinking. You know, everything is interconnected, and especially in our work in healthcare, right? And so in our program, we do a lot of our focus is on critical thought, taking all these different players in the ecosystem and connecting them in ways to help us uncover and solve some of the most complex issues facing the industry. So that's really, really important that we master this art of systems thinking. I think for diverse leaders, I think, first of all, it's important for us to understand the difference between diversity and inclusion. I know that sometimes folks have a tendency to use those two terms interchangeably, but it's important that we are striving for inclusion, right, where we have all kinds of different perspectives that are really feeding into how you want to move forward, right, and recognizing that that's what it takes. As the demographics of the country continue to change and evolve, we want to be sure that we are that our leaders are representative and reflective of the communities that we're serving.
Let me ask you two follow-up questions about diversity and inclusion. The first is aimed at the person of color or the diverse person, advice for that person. The second question will be for the organization around inclusion. Any overriding thought?
I think for persons of color that it's important for us to become comfortable being authentic in who we are. I know that a lot of times we have the sense that we have to cover up or code switch to fit in. I think it's important that we are authentic in our lived experience, because through our voice, that's how education occurs and how people's mental models are shifted. So I think it's important for us to know that. And I think your follow-up question was for the organization?
Yes, but let's focus for a second on the first question, because I love your answer. Yeah. Sort of as I hear you, the most important advice is to be yourself. Don't try and be something different when you get into a different organization. It almost reminds me of a person, not necessarily a diverse person, any person, when they put on a different voice when they come to work, when they act a different way. And, and when they're not authentic, they're not nearly as powerful either way. And that seems to be the advice that you're the same perspective.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And that's something that it takes time. I mean, as an African-American male, I feel that weight each and every day. And I have to keep that on my radar and be cognizant of that and say, hey, you know what? This is your opportunity to speak up, because it could be a teachable moment for the folks that you're in the room with. Right. And so, but it does take time, and you have to master it, and you have to practice. It's not something that comes naturally, because most folks were raised to be and act a certain way when you're in certain environments. And I challenge my students. I challenge other faculty of color who are in health administration to tell their story, because, again, it really can be a teachable moment for others.
And so to follow up on the next question, if you'd like to comment on it, organizations are striving for more inclusion. Any thoughts or overall writing advice there?
I think it's important for organizations to know their communities. And community engagement, we talk about community engagement in our work, and what does it really, really mean, right? And if we're really serious about population health management, improving the health of populations, it's important that we tap into the rich diversity of our communities and use that to inform our strategy. And those folks need to be at the table. They need to be on the front lines and they need to be on the boards so that you have a great representation of your community and you can deliver a product or a service that resonates for the populations that you're serving.
Thank you. And Christopher, you do a lot of teaching about leadership. Overall thoughts on what works and doesn't work in leadership. A couple of thoughts along those lines.
Sure. I think the most important piece around leadership is knowing that people just inherently want to be heard and they want to be valued. They want to be a part of a solution, right? I mean, I think that's very natural. That's a very natural part of the human experience. And I think the leader that cracks the code or the individual that cracks the code on how to make sure that all people that are part of his or her sphere have a voice and that voice is heard and that there's that two-way, very meaningful communication is extremely important. I also think it's important to know the skills of the individual team members on your team and taking advantage of that for the benefit, for collective impact, right? And so, we all have different skill sets and ways that we can be influential. I think the leader recognizes that, and he or she will position people in positions and give them opportunities so that they can shine. It always comes back. I think the other is around humility, Scott. I think it's really important that recognizing that the world is changing and we don't know everything and we have to just sit back and know when it's time to lead and when it's time to follow and recognize that we just, we don't know everything and we never will. And because the world is changing so quickly, I mean, I have to practice humility every day, because I'm around all these wonderful young people who are teaching me all types of interesting things each and every day. And I think they value that, they value the fact that I'm willing to be a learner, even though I'm in a more formal leadership capacity.
This may not be good for your humility, but I find you always to be just an extraordinary pleasure to talk to and visit with and learn from. Tell us a little bit, Christopher, about the Georgetown program that you helped to lead. How has that grown? Tell us a little bit about that program.
I tell you, it is my passion. I come from the workforce, so I was a VP for a health system. And after I got my doctorate, my plan was to just take a year and just write about what are the emerging competencies needed if we're going to, again, do population health well. I was going to write about this on the beach somewhere. Well, that didn't happen because Georgetown reached out to me. And I had an opportunity to be a faculty member in the department, and then later, the next year, program director. And what we've done is we've restructured the program to apply a systems thinking perspective that's rooted in team-based projects, because we know that in healthcare we work in teams, and our ability to work effectively in teams is very important. And our program also focuses now on prevention and wellness. What does it take to keep people well, to keep people out of the hospitals? And if you look at health administration graduate programs historically, that's not been our approach. And then the other piece is around public health competencies, because I recognize that that was a gap in the industry as well, right? If we talk about social determinants of health, how do we rethink how we organize our systems so that we can meet the holistic needs of patients in real time? And then the last piece, Scott, that distinguishes our program from others is our focus on racial equity as a means of eradicating health disparities. And so our students learn about concepts such as redlining. They learn about concepts such as implicit bias and how that impacts administrative decision-making, how it impacts patient care, how sometimes community members bring their own biases to the healthcare team and what that looks like. And so those are concepts that you don't typically see in health administration graduate programs, and it's something that distinguishes us in the marketplace. It's very exciting to be in this space. My background is in public health and healthcare management, so I think now is the ideal time to do this great work that I'm able to do.
Magnificent. And how much pride do you take, and I've seen it firsthand, in your students that come through your program?
I tell you, my students motivate me each and every day. And it's so wonderful to see them doing great work in the field. And, you know, I'll get a note from a student randomly saying, hey, Dr. King, you know, I did this for my organization, and I remember in class you taught this. I mean, come on. That will make your day, right? And so it's an honor to do this work. Scott, I thoroughly, genuinely enjoy the work, and I love when in the classroom students are able to, their light bulbs go off, because we're helping them make better sense of the world and helping them understand our history and how our history has put us where we are. But yet there are opportunities for us moving forward as we take that history and really truly teach people American history, because I think that's a piece that's been missing. And so they're going to get that when they come to this program.
Well, thank you. And I've seen the care and respect that you have for your students and the care and respect they have for you. And it's a fascinating thing to see. Christopher, let's ask you another question, and it may tie into this last question. How do you keep yourself motivated day in, day out through the course of a long career?
Well, I think it's important to strive for work-life balance as much as possible. But for me, I'm doing work that I'm very passionate about, and I think that's really important. So I would encourage anyone who's listening to us right now, you know, enjoy your work. And if you're not enjoying the work, if it's not something that's your passion, find it. That's what I did. You know, like I said, I was working for a health system and realized that, you know, it's time for me to do something different. And so it's okay. I took a risk and here I am today. So I think just striving for work-life balance and doing work that really, something you're really passionate about. And when you go home each and every day, you can say job well done.
Well, and your work today truly fills your tank daily. I mean, you really feel every day that this fills your tank, that you get positive feedback from it and you love what you're doing.
Absolutely. Of course, every day isn't perfect, you know, but I would say in my work, 80% of the days are. And I think that's a good metric.
That's a great win. I think that's a great win. If you get to 80%, you're winning the game. Let me ask you the next and last question, Christopher. It's if this year goes well, what does that look like for you and for what you're doing?
I think if this year goes well, my goal is for our program to have some recognition in the racial equity space. So if we could achieve that, that would be great, metric for us. I think the other is just making sure that, you know, we stay on top of what's happening in the field and continuing to evolve as a program so that our students aren't just responsive to how the world is changing, but they are actually out there trailblazing, right? And so if we could, you know, make some progress, we've already done some great work, but I would like to see us do some interesting work in that space over the next year.
That's fantastic. Really, a couple of different things I heard from you. One is the program continues to thrive. It gets more and more recognition as thriving. People see it. And that your students become and are trailblazers, that more and more of them make an impact in the world of healthcare and just the world in general.
Absolutely.
Final question, Christopher. Dr. King, if somebody wants to learn more about you and the program, how can they find out more?
Well, they can just email me at ck806@georgetown.edu. Again, ck806@georgetown.edu. And I'm easily accessible via social media at Christopher King. So, Christopher J. King.
Fantastic. Christopher, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Scott. This was a pleasure.